Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna, Text Number 26. Yo ya ayam kala tasya te avyakta bando cheshtam ahu. Cheshtate yena vishvam nimesha adi vatsara ananta mahiyan tan tva ishanam shema hama prapadye. Yoyam kalastasya te vyakta bandho cheshtamahus cheshtate yena vishvam nimeshadir vatsaranto mahiyam tvam tam veshanam shema dhamma papadye. Ya, that which I am, this kala, time, minutes, hours, seconds, tasya, of him, te, of you, avyakta bandho. O my Lord, you are the inaugurator of the unmanifested, the original Mahatattva or Prakriti. Cheshtam, attempt or pastimes.
Ahu,
it is said, cheshtate, works, yena, by which, vishvam,
the entire creation,
nimesha adi, beginning with minutes, beginning with minute parts of time, vatsara antak, up to the limit of a year. Mahiyan, powerful. Tam, unto your lordship. Tva ishanam, unto you, the supreme controller. Shema dhamma, the reservoir of all auspiciousness. Prapadye,
I offer full surrender.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O inaugurator of the material energy, this wonderful creation works under the control of powerful time, which is divided into seconds, minutes, hours, and years. This element of time, which extends for many millions of years, is but another form of Lord Vishnu. For your pastimes, you act as the controller of time, for you are the reservoir of all good fortune. Let me offer my full surrender unto your lordship. Please repeat. O inaugurator of the material energy.
O inaugurator of material energy.
This wonderful creation works under the control of powerful time.
This wonderful creation works under the control of powerful time.
Which is divided into seconds, minutes, hours, and years.
Which is divided into seconds.
This element of time,
this element of time
which extends for many millions of years,
is but another form of Lord Vishnu.
For your pastimes, you act as a controller of time. For you are the reservoir of all good fortune. Let me offer my full surrender unto your Lordship. Purport. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 552, Yat chaksha esha savita sakala krahanam Raja samasta suramurtya shesha teja Yasya gaya brahmati samrita kala chakra Govindam adi purusham tamaham brajami. The sun is the king of all planetary systems and has unlimited potency in heat and light. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the supreme personality of Godhead, under whose control even the sun, which is considered to be the eye of the Lord, rotates within the fixed orbit of eternal time. Although we see the cosmic manifestation as gigantic and wonderful, it is within the limitations of Kala, the time factor. This time factor is also controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Prakriti, the cosmic manifestation, is under the control of time. Indeed, everything is under the control of time, and time is controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Supreme Lord has no fear of the onslaughts of time. Time is estimated according to the movements of the sun, savita. Every minute, every second, every day, every night, every month, and every year of time can be calculated according to the sun's movements. But the sun is not independent, for is under time's control. Brahmati Samrita Kala Chakra. The sun moves within the Kala Chakra, the orbit of time. The sun is under the control of time, and time is controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord has no fear of time. The Lord is addressed here as Avyakta Bandhu, or the inaugurator of the movements of the entire cosmic manifestation. Sometimes the cosmic manifestation is compared to a potter's wheel. When a potter's wheel is spinning, who has set it in motion? It is the potter, of course, although sometimes we can see only the motion of the wheel and cannot see the potter himself. Therefore, the Lord, who is behind the motion of the cosmos, is called Avyakta Bandhu. Everything is within the limits of time. The time moves under the direction of the Lord, who is therefore not within time's limit. Yoyam kalastasyate vyaktabando tishtam ahushcheshtate yena vishvam nimeshadir vatsaranto mahiyams tam vitveshanam shema dhamma prapadye. O inaugurator of the material energy, this wonderful creation works under the control of powerful time, which is divided into seconds, minutes, hours, and years. This element of time, which extends for many millions of years, is but another form of Lord Vishnu. For your pastimes, you act as a controller of time, but you are the reservoir of all good fortune. Let me offer my full surrender unto your Lordship. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Priyasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine. Namaste Sarasvatun Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyatya De Sitarane. Time in the material world is a manifestation of Krishna. Arjuna was asking Krishna, after seeing the universal form, what is the reason to have such a form like this? In other words, Arjuna was a friend of Krishna. Generally, Krishna was quite reasonable and nice. But suddenly, he started to manifest a form where fire was coming out of his mouths and eyes. He was eating people up. So Arjuna is wondering, why such a nice person has a form like this? So he said, Akyakime ko bhavan ugrupo, mostute deva vra prasida, Vigyatamichami Vivantam Adyam Nahi Prajanami Tava Pravritim. My dear Krishna, please tell me, what is the purpose of having such a form? He calls Akyakime Ko Bhavan Ugarupo. Ugarupo, this horrible form, why is Bhava, why are you manifesting it? Please speak to me. Akyakime Ko Bhavan Ugarupo. Namostu Te Deva Vara Prasida. Oh, best of the demigods. You're a demigod, you're the head of all the demigods, but somehow or another you seem to have a side to you that I didn't even know about. Namostu Te Deva Vara Prasida. Vigyatum Ichchami. Please give me some realization what's going on. I wish to know what's going on. Ichchami. Vigyatum Ichchami. Bhavantam Adyam. Nihit Prajanami Tava Pravritim. Pravritim. So please tell me what your purpose is. Pravritim. What is the reason why you're manifesting this form? And then Krishna says, Kalosmi Lokashe Krit Pravrido Lokansa Maharatamiha Pravritak Ritepi Tvam Nava Vishanti Sarve Evastita Pratnyu Keshu Yoda. The time I am, Kalosmi. We don't see time, but we see the effect of time. But that doesn't mean that time doesn't exist. Just like Hiranyakashipu, he was intelligent enough, although he's a demon, to realize that if he was going to conquer the universe, first he would have to conquer time. Because if you conquer the universe and you wind up dead at the end, you didn't really conquer very much. Just like Alexander the Great, he would conquer countries after country, unfortunately because he did not know how to set up a proper administration. By the time he conquered the next country, he lost the country he had previously conquered. So by the time he conquered the world, he had nothing left. Actually, probably gives the story that Alexander the Great, he finally came to the last place in India where he tried to conquer it, and then he met one thief. His men arrested a thief, and they told the thief, "Now we're going to kill you," Alexander the Great said. But the thief said, "Wait a second, why are you going to kill me? What gives you the right to kill me? After all, I'm a thief, and you're a thief too. I may steal little things, but you're stealing countries. So you're just a bigger thief than I am. So why should you kill me? You have no right." So Alexander thought about it and said, "Yes, I'm a big thief, he's a little thief. We're both thieves, partners in thievery. So why should I kill him?" So he let him go and then went back to Greece. Of course, he died on the way. But by the time he had died, he had lost everything. He wasn't as great as people thought. Therefore, in the material world, if Hiranyakashipu had conquered the universe but then died, just like the famous prayer, or who is it? Not King Kulakshetra, but there was the person who had conquered the fort on behalf of the demigods, and then they asked him, "What was your desire?" Who is that king? Not Kulakshetra. Who's that? Katvanga Maharaj. Yeah, Katvanga Maharaj. He asked the demigods, when they offered him a benediction, "What benediction do you want?" So he said, "Tell me how long I have left to live." Seems like not a big benediction. But they said, "You have 1 moment left to live." So he decided, 1 moment left to live, I better become Krishna conscious very quickly. And right here on the heavenly planets, it's not a good place. So he immediately came down to this earth planet, fixed his mind on Krishna, and went back to the spiritual world. So that's called intelligence. That, for instance, if we gave someone here $100 billion, would anyone complain if they were given $100 billion? I don't think so. But if we told you you only had 1 billionth of a second to spend it in, then you wonder, what is the value of having so much money? I only have such a short period of time to spend it. So we think Our 100 years is a long, long time, if we have 100 years. But actually, compared to eternal time, it's a lot less than 100 billionth of a second. But still, we're making big, big plans, become big, big persons here, and enjoy in a big, big way. But by the time we get it together, we're practically dead, and then we are dead. It goes so quick time that Brahma, in one nimesha of his life, he went away. And then he was, after stealing Krishna's cows and cowherd boys, he went back to his planet, but he stopped and thought, wait a second, I might be in trouble. Who knows who this cowherd boy is in anyhow? Could be a secret agent or something. So he immediately came back, and what did he discover? That actually Krishna had expanded himself into all the calves and cowherd boys. Although he had gone from one nimesha, which is only, I think, 1/8 of a second, still it was 1 year of our time. In Dwarpa Yuga, no less. 1 year of Dwarpa Yuga this time. So that was only one moment of his lifetime. And we think that we're, so in other words, after a couple of minutes of his lifetime, we're finished. Just like there was one king, his Kutaka, and Revati. He was the father of Revati. Revata actually had a son named Kutaka, and Kutaki, and they both went to Brahma's planet because Revati was a very qualified young girl. So her father wanted to find her a qualified husband. They went to the planet Brahma, Brahmaloka, because Brahma is very intelligent. He knows who's a proper match for such a qualified lady. He's the head of the Prajapatis. On wedding invitations, they put the picture of Brahma in India because he's the head of the Prajapatis. And when he got to Brahmaloka, they told him, wait a second, there's a concert going on, sit down for a moment. The Gandharvas are almost finished. They have their turn, you have your turn. Let them sing a little. And when it's finished, then you can speak to him. So a few minutes went by, and then the king asked Lord Brahma, can you find a qualified wife for my dear daughter? So Lord Brahma said, well, unfortunately, you've been here for a few moments, but in your time, it's been millenniums. Therefore, your kingdom has disappeared. Not only the kingdom has disappeared, but all your relatives have disappeared. And not only relatives have disappeared, but anyone who's ever heard of you has disappeared. In other words, the only thing you have left is your daughter. But fortunately, Lord Balaram, who's her eternal consort, is now appearing in the material world, and you can give Revati to her. So for us, we think we're going to live here for a long time, but in terms of relative time, even relative time in Brahma's planet, it is completely insignificant. And what to speak of eternal time? When Lord Vishnu breathes out, that's the whole creation. And when Lord Vishnu breathes in, that's the annihilation. It's just the breath. So who can imagine that? What to speak of one day of Mahavishnu's life? How many Brahmas are created and how many Brahmas are destroyed? The famous example is that sage, I forget his name now, his name is Loma Sharishi. It's easy to remember because Loma means hair. So he was known as the Hairy Rishi. But it is said that every time one of his hairs would fall out, his head was full of hairs, he had hairs all over his body, but his hair would not fall out until Lord Brahma would be born and die. One Lord Brahma would be born and die. In other words, every 311 trillion 40 billion years, one of his hairs fell out. And it is said that he would live for as long as he had any hair left on his head. Needless to say, although he was going a little bald, he wasn't worried so much. One time he was sitting meditating on the bank of the Ganges, and one of his disciples came and said, "Guru Maharaj, we'd like to build you a bhajan kutir." But Lama Sharishi, he protested. He said, "Why build me a bhajan kutir? I'm only going to be alive for a short period of time. Why waste the effort?" In other words, Krishna consciousness is a wake-up call to what's actually going on here. Although unlimited living entities, ahani ahani bhutani, gacchanti yamalayam, shesha ichanti, shesha stavani, what's the word? Shesha stavaram ichanti, kimascharyam atakparam. So that so many living entities are coming into existence and so many living entities are dying at every moment. But those who are remaining behind, they think we're going to be here for a long, long time. In other words, we should be a little anxiety that we're about to die. We don't want to be pessimistic. We don't want to depress everyone. But there should be some sense of urgency to what we're doing. Kamara acharat pragyo dharman bhagavatan iha durlabha manusha janma tadapyadruvam artada. Prahlad Maharaj said, from the very tender age of childhood, one should be instructed about Krishna consciousness. Nowadays we think that let our children be instructed about Maya. And when they get there full of Maya, when they get there, when they understand Maya very nicely, then if they want, they can choose Krishna consciousness. Of course, by the time they're done with the school education, modern education, their capacity to understand Krishna consciousness is so small, that how can they choose it? So Prahlad Maharaj said, from the very age of childhood. So our society is supposed to be very much concerned about making people Krishna conscious. And if we can be concerned about our own children becoming Krishna conscious, so why will we be actually concerned about total strangers becoming Krishna conscious? But if we don't believe there's such a thing as Krishna consciousness, or that if I become Krishna conscious, that all my needs are taken care of, and then I get the highest level of attainment, then we'll think, oh, my child may want to become a PhD and get a job as a computer engineer, so I should not deprive him of such a noble effort. Because after all, if we try to make him Krishna conscious in the very beginning, he'll blame me when he grows up, I didn't give him a proper material education. All I gave him was love of God and eternal life. I just gave him a life of bliss and knowledge eternally, when I could have given him some 9-to-5 job where he could have worked like a dog. So certainly they'll blame me. So I should make sure that I give him a full opportunity to go to hell along with everyone else. One should consider actually how short the life is and how valuable Krishna consciousness is, and then make the proper decisions. Krishna tells Arjuna, Tasmat tvam yutishti yasho labhasva jitva shatrun bhukshvara jansamridam mayaivata niyatam purvam eva nimitra matram bhavasava sachin. Just get up and prepare to fight, and after conquering an enemy you'll enjoy a flourishing kingdom. There he put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. In other words, even when we have a child, they're only going to get what their karma allows them. No matter what we try to do to make their material life pleasant and whatever, give them all the toys for Christmas and make sure they celebrate all the holidays, give them all the chocolate and goodies that Australia has to offer, but still they're only going to be able to enjoy as much as their karma. They may get all the goodies and get sick. They may go to school and get a proper, so-called proper modern education, but they may become addicted to drugs. And the result is, instead of becoming a successful businessman or a successful engineer, they wind up in Skid Row somewhere, and they'll blame you for it. Therefore, one should make decisions according to reality, not according to modern society's conception of what's good and what's bad, because they don't know. Natevidu swarti katim hi vishnu. If you ask the person on the street advice, then you'll simply get the wrong advice, because they don't know. Andaya tandera pagiyamana stepiksha tantra urudami bhara. They're blind and they're following other blind people. They'll tell you to be your own man, do your own thing, but are they actually their own person doing their own thing? They're doing exactly what television tells them to do. Their whole personality is a manifestation of the movies they've seen. Their goals in life are simply dictated to them through mass advertisement. And they're telling you simply surrender to the cigarette companies, the alcohol companies, the whatever other companies they're surrendered to. And are they happy? Of course they're not happy. But they love to see other people miserable. That's the only happiness they have. And when they see that you've joined the line of miserable people along with them, they become happy. That's their only happiness. So if one wants to become an instrument for Krishna, that takes certain training. And Krishna said, yattaragre vishamiva paramami pritopamam tatsukam satikam protam atmabuddhi prasadajam. It's bitter like poison. Because all these voices that are talking to us all the time, we have to reject them. And we're attached to them. Prabhupada said it, we're ghostly haunted. So Maya goes, we say, no, I don't want to listen to Maya. Maya goes, boo. Go, wait a second, don't do that, Maya. It disturbs me. Boo. I don't want to hear from you. Boo, boo, boo. You say, I quit. Just give me some peace. What do you want me to do, Maya? Well, I got a plan for you. So just because we don't want to tolerate a little few moments of anxiety, indecision, itching sensation. Therefore, we were involved in some of the useless activities. It says, yan maiti nadi kriyamedi sukam hitucham kanduyam nena korya iva duka dukam tripyanti neha kripana bahuduka bhaja kandu divat manasijam vishaheta dira. So Prahlad Maharaj, he's saying that the material world means simply scratching an itch. That's it. That's what all the music's about, all the plays, the theater, the books, the novels. Simply people have an itch and they're scratching. And it's been glorified beyond, completely beyond reality. Previously people understood that really the most important necessity of life is just to get something to eat. And people actually used to work to get something to eat. And they directly engaged in things like farming, agriculture, because they knew that if they got good food, they feel good. And nowadays, people, they eat food and it's completely empty, so they feel empty. They think, well, I need something else. And therefore they've made, because people are not satisfied, their senses are uncontrolled, therefore they've made this unlimited glorification of sense gratification as the goal of life, and that's where all their happiness lies. But no one's happy because no one can be fulfilled by such activities. And still, instead, the more you scratch the itchier it becomes. Until it starts to bleed, and then you go to the doctor and he gives you some antibiotics. And by the time you're done with the doctor, you're dead. You turn green first, your tongue and teeth turn green. And they say, well, you know, we're not making too much progress with you. The experiment didn't work, but I got my fee, so that's what counts. Therefore, one should try to understand that why waste our life scratching this itching sensation and trying to convince others to do the same thing. Instead, one should try to learn how to become an instrument for Krishna. The more we become an instrument for Krishna, Krishna has a mission. The more we're engaged in that mission for Krishna, the more we become an instrument, then the more we become free from this material existence. It doesn't mean that we disappear or that I become a selfless idiot just waiting for the big boss to tell me what to do. No, the more we become free from material existence, the more our real lives begin. The more we can understand who we really are, and why am I wasting my time, putting myself in anxiety by serving illusion? Why don't I do something valuable with my time and serve reality? Because when I serve reality, I'll enter into reality and all my problems will disappear. And instead, my positive life will actually begin, where I become positively happy all the time, and I understand everything perfectly well. What is reality? And I can do something meaningful with my life. Otherwise, there are so many people who are trying to make their mark. They think, well, all right, I'll go through so many austerities, and I'll do this and that, and I'll get my, just like Jarasandha. Jarasandha, he was so powerful that he was able to fight with Bhima, who had the strength of 10,000 elephants. But what was he interested in ultimately? He had a kingdom, an empire, practically. He had captured 20,000 princes and kings. He was so powerful. He had unlimited opportunities for material enjoyment. But what was his highest objective? He wanted name and fame. After you get everything else, then you want some fame. So when Krishna approached him, when Bhima approached him and Arjuna approached him in the form of kshatriyas, Krishna simply started to preach to Jarasandha, because Jarasandha was giving out charity, and Bhima, Arjuna, and Krishna had approached him for some charity. So Krishna wanted to convince Jarasandha to fight with them as charity. Of course, at that time, kshatriyas were 18 feet tall, which was around, I guess, 6 meters. It was hard to hide yourself as being a kshatriya. The Brahmins were much smaller. So therefore, these 6 meter people approach you as Brahmins. And Jarasandha was wondering, well, they don't look exactly like Brahmins because they had marks and bows on their shoulders. But he thought they have degraded themselves by posing as Brahmins. Therefore, let me give them whatever they want. Even if they want my head, I'll give it to them. So that was the kshatriya charity. My dear sir, can you give me your head? No problem. So he said, what would you like? So Lord Krishna said, my dear Jarasandha, we approached you asking for some charity. So we'd like you to give some charity, just like Ranti Dev. He was starving. He was about to die, but still gave his food away in charity. And King Shibi, when a pigeon approached him asking for shelter, he was willing to cut his own flesh from his body and give it on behalf of the pigeon. So these great personalities, they gave up their temporary material body, but they achieved everlasting fame. So Jarasandha said, that sounds great. That's exactly what I want. Let me get some everlasting fame. So he agreed to fight with Bhima. So he got everlasting fame because he made it into the Srimad Bhagavatam. But where is Jarasandha now? He wasn't that body. Or if he was that body, which half was he? He had a split personality. But he was the person, the soul within the body. When he gave up the body, all his so-called, that little soul didn't achieve any fame, because no one knows who he was. Only the external body became famous. Therefore, if we're thinking, let me do something for my name and fame, that's useless. Name and fame, especially in Kali Yuga, doesn't last very long. Even if you become as famous as Napoleon. But in the next Satyayuga, who will remember Napoleon? Who will care for him? And Prabhupada said, where is Napoleon now? They have a statue of Napoleon, and once a year they take off all the bird stool from it. Because only the birds are making offerings every day. And then they do a little ceremony. So Napoleon's statue is there, but who knows, maybe Napoleon's one of the birds that come by every day. Or maybe he's one of the worms inside the bird pellet. Therefore, one should try to understand things properly, and then our activities will naturally be more dedicated to Krishna's service, because we won't want to uselessly waste this valuable opportunity. But people don't know they have a valuable opportunity, therefore they're wasting it, trying to be happy in the material world, and so many people are taking advantage of them, advertising, this will make you happy, this will make you happy. As I mentioned the other day, the analogy, that the fisherman's going down, he's putting the hook into the water with some bait. The poor fish is grabbing hold of the bait because he wants some happiness. He gets hooked, reeled up, cut up, thrown into a pan and fried. So he wanted some happiness for the bait, but he wound up fried. So Maya means come and enjoy, come and enjoy. We go to enjoy and we wind up fried. So one should realize that, take shelter of Krishna, and therefore make our lives actually productive and meaningful before it's too late. So thank you. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes.
Yeah, Maharshi, talking about, you quoted that story of Krishna and Arjuna when they approached Jarasandha. And then Krishna was, referring to the path and the stories of Bhante Dev and
King Shibi.
Gave him charity. And then you're pointing out, like Jarasandha, he became famous as Jarasandha, but where is he now? Where is his fame now? Who even knows who he is now? So doesn't the same also apply to Bhante Dev and Shibi?
Yeah, sure.
Who knows where they are now?
Yeah, who knows? Who cares?
You know, that body that were in at that time is famous.
But they didn't do it for fame. They became famous because they were great personalities, but they didn't do it for fame.
It's not like, if I'm in the spiritual world, that was my Bhante Dev.
Nor would people care very much. This material world is just a little cloud that appears sometimes. So it's not really. Of course, devotees are very kind, even in the spiritual world especially. So they appreciate everything that Krishna does. These are all Krishna's pastimes. So one should not try to take the credit for them. Otherwise, one will be wasting one's time. In Vaikuntha, they don't really take it very seriously. Just like when Gop Kumara went to Vaikuntha and he tried to embrace Lord Narayan, the gatekeeper, his guard stopped him and threw him out of the palace, or took him out of the palace. So, what are you doing? This is Vaikuntha, you're in Narayan's place. Because he was crying out the name of Gopal. So there was some of the younger residents said, well, you know, you're the form of a cowherd boy. You're worshipping Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan as Gopal, but you should understand these are just insignificant pastimes he has once in a while on the earth planet, that you should grow up a little bit, try and get serious about your devotional service, and worship Lord Narayan properly. But other residents of Vaikuntha who are more senior, they said, wait a second, Lord Narayan really likes these pastimes of Gopal, therefore you should not discourage his devotee, his cowherd boy. So even Krishna's pastimes in the material world, even in Vaikuntha, they don't have a high rating sometimes. So we shouldn't be so proud that, you know, even if we enter into Vaikuntha as a cowherd boy, we shouldn't think, the gatekeeper stops us and says, who are you? You don't know who I am? Who are you? Bow down, mister. No, the mood always has to be one of unlimited humility. Even Krishna is unlimitedly humble. He doesn't try to lorded over people because he has certain pastimes or he's engaged in certain activities. He's always considering himself to be the servant of his servants. So if God thinks like that, why should we take some credit? Krishna says, Namam karmani limpanti, ame karma palais priha, iti mam yobi jananti karma birna sapadite. There's no work that binds me in this world, nor am I attached to the results of my activities. Those who actually know about this, they also become liberated from the bondage of work. So even Krishna comes and displays his pastimes, but there's no material attachment to them. Anything else? Yes.
I gather when the Bhagavad Gita is asking the Lord, is the spiritual world? And I already have the body name, so I don't even know that. But by the mercy, I have been given that. So what I was wondering, if it's so important to return to the spiritual world, and I have only heard this, I can't repeat it, that apparently Srila Prabhupada wished the temples to be set in the mode of Mula Vaikuntha, which is with opulence. So, if we were all to leave our bodies now, you know, we have very opulent deities, what do we really, and the Guru, of course, what would we concentrate on? Because we have to go past Vaikuntha to reach the spiritual world.
You don't think Vaikuntha is a spiritual world?
Well, it is, but apparently that is not our destination, so I have...
Oh, well, our destination is wherever our consciousness is, wherever Krishna decides that we go. We're becoming trained up to become devotees. I mean, if we had the eligibility to go back to the spiritual world, it wouldn't be a bad thing, even Vaikuntha. I mean, Vaikuntha is quite an elevated position. I don't think most of us can claim to be qualified to go to Vaikuntha. And when the Vishnu Dutas come to take us there, we say, wait a second, I'm not going to this low-class spiritual place. No, Vaikuntha is beyond our... We can't even begin to imagine what Vaikuntha is like. We have no idea. But we're becoming trained up to revive, to become a servant of Krishna, first of all. That's why it's in the mood of opulence. Not that we're supposed to be opulent. It's that we're making the deity worship opulent, so we give Krishna our opulence. Because right now we're trying to steal the opulence from Krishna. So we're just trying to give it back to him, that's all. And when we become qualified to become a bona fide servant, when we develop the service attitude, then at that time we may make further progress to understanding what our original relationship with Krishna is, if it's beyond dasya rasa. But we're being trained up to become servants because that's the basis of all the different rasas. But until we're perfectly trained up, until Krishna thinks that we're supposed to go back to wherever we came from, then he's not going to bring us there anyhow. We don't have to worry about prematurely going to some low-class place called Vaikuntha. No, that's quite an elevated position. Until we're actually qualified, until Krishna thinks we should go there, we're not going to go there anyhow. And Krishna will give us opportunities here in this material world to practice. So we're practicing at sadhana bhakti. And when we come up to the platform of spontaneous devotion to Krishna, then the devotee doesn't necessarily want to go back to the spiritual world because he's already there. His consciousness is, when one comes to the platform of pure devotion, he's already with Krishna, and that is the spiritual world. He's already with Krishna and his associates. Therefore, he doesn't really care what Krishna brings him. Narayana para sarge, kutasjana vibhyati, swaga apavarga narakeshu apituliyarta darshanaha. So, Lord Shiva tells Parvati that those who are Narayana Parayana, completely surrendered to Lord Krishna, they don't care whether they go to heaven or hell or get liberated because they're completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So for them, all these places are the same. Yeah.
Who is better, who are joined the temple fully or the persons who are grahasthas outside and they We don't work outside, but we are donating to the temple, and but we are fully Krishna conscious at home. We do not have, we don't engage in any material activities except the Lord's, we just do the form, the daily worship, and we read Bhagavad regularly and follow Prabhupada's instructions and preach, doing everything, but not living in the temple, but living outside. But regularly visiting, coming to the temple for Bhagavatam, you have a close relationship with the temple, but living outside of
it. Yeah, both are good.
Which is better?
Better to live in the temple. Better opportunity to fully engage in Krishna service. But if one lives outside the temple, then one should also fully engage in Krishna service. But living inside the temple is just a better opportunity. I mean, you don't have to get in your car, you just fall out of bed into the temple. That's the advantage. You don't have to work, if you do work, you may be preaching. So it's just it's a better opportunity, more easy opportunity to remember Krishna. But if one is living on the outside and dedicating all the energies to Krishna, that's also a good practice. But it's not so easy, that's all. If one can do that, then they're very elevated.
And is it that material energy influences the person who's living outside than the person who's living inside?
Maya? You mean Maya has a special, surprise for people living on the outside? No, Maya is quite equal to everyone. She's a devotee. She's a great devotee. Therefore, she sees everyone equally. She smashes everyone with equal mercy. That's what it says that. Krishna bahir mukha bhoga vancha tare nikatasta maya japati adare. So Maya, when she sees, as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, she comes with a club and smashes us. She's standing right by us. So she's equally kind to everyone. Yes.
In regards to Maya, has Srila Prabhupada coined a term in the Srimad Bhagavatam, radio nuisance or nuisance radio? I was just wondering if you could expand on that.
Well, if radio is used for Krishna service, it's nice. Sometimes the devotees, but most of the radio or mass communication is not broadcasting the glories of God. Therefore, we shouldn't turn on our FM or whatever radio and listen to the latest bhajan going on. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.